Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Laundry Hour. So happy you're here. If you are new, it truly is a blessing to have you. If you have been here for a long time or even a few episodes, it's also a blessing to have you. I'm grateful for anyone and everyone who listens. It encourages me. I know I say this every week, but I mean it every week, so that's why I have to say it every week. I'm excited for today's episode because today, after I realized that there was another week in July, I'm excited for today because I think it's very interesting that I started talking about the church in a very interesting season in our life. So as I have been honest about other things, I want to be honest about this too, and a little transparent. The Laundry Hour kind of started from a transparent Facebook Live video that said, hey, people respond to this. Let me keep doing this in some fashion. So, I want to talk about our church journey, how my husband and I became believers, how we have gathered, and how we have like been on this journey to understand what the church is, what does the Bible say about church, what is biblical gathering. Does God enjoy what we do when we gather? And if he doesn't, what should we do about that? So I would like to start by saying my husband and I both became believers. I would say real believers when we were in college. Before my husband went to college, he went to a church like right when he turned 17 or so, and that had a really impactful moment on his awakening to who Jesus was. But it wasn't until he got to college and read through the Gospels for himself, when he saw Jesus in the garden saying, not my will but yours be done, like he had always had a vision that God, or the idea that Jesus was just this superhero, but in that moment he was like, no, like he truly sacrificed, he truly obeyed, he truly hurt, and that like made everything click for him. And it was really cool that he had a moment basically coming to Jesus by himself, you know, like not through another person, but just through God's word. And then me, on the other hand, I grew up in church like my whole life. We went to lots of different ones, in the sense of like my parents ended up becoming pastors when I was, I don't want to say fifth or sixth grade or something. I'm not really sure. They all blur together. The point of the story is, it wasn't until I went to college, like I think it's very funny because I didn't pay attention really during high school. So the fact that I was like, yeah, I want to find a church. That first weekend we moved in, like I look back and I'm like, who made you do that? Nobody but the Lord. And that first Sunday, like they had like a fair of all the organizations and something, and I walked, and a girl handed me a flyer. She was like, yeah, we meet tonight at 6. And I was like, cool, I wanted to find a church anyway, this is perfect. So I go, and I believe they were teaching through Matthew, which is also very interesting now that I think about it. But I just remember feeling like I had heard the gospel for the first time. I remember feeling like it wasn't just people's sin, but my sin. And I had offended Jesus, and I needed to be saved and reconciled. And I wanted the life that he offered me. And so I just remember, like, oh, one of the main questions. All right, so I'm back. If you didn't hear it, one of my children woke up, so I was hoping to get this recorded and posted earlier today, but it seems it's going to happen during my typical, or at least my new typical time, which is Monday afternoons. So, yeah, I was basically talking about how one of the main questions the pastor was asking. This is my freshman year of college, my first Sunday at school, and the question was, who is God to you? And in theory, a person who grew up in church her whole life should have been able to answer that question, but I had no idea how to, because he wasn't anyone to me. He was someone to other people, or at least that's what I thought, and I didn't know who he was, really. Like, we didn't have a personal relationship, and so that first Sunday, like, totally rocked my world, and then has rocked my life since, because, I think I can answer that question now, and that's pretty stinking cool. My husband and I have learned a lot, looking back at our college career and how the Lord has taught us a lot of things through our church experiences and our time with believers. Like, we've learned about discipleship. I know for me, growing up in church, I don't think I ever heard of the term discipleship, or like even saw the concept of like people walking together and helping each other follow Jesus better. Like, that wasn't a concept of when I thought about something that the church did, or even missions. Like, I knew of outreach in the sense of like, we'll go and do something kind or nice in our neighborhood, but never like going out for the purpose of sharing the gospel, not only in our neighborhood, but across the country and across the world. So those were like totally different concepts to me. I think what I typically saw church people do was they go to church, they listen to a sermon, they have some worship or praise and worship music, and there's children's ministry. My church experience, sometimes, you know, people fall out and speak in tongues, and then we go home. That was kind of, we would come back on Wednesday and we would do it again. And then we'd do it twice a week. And that's like what I understood church to be, kind of growing up, until I came to college and things were flipped on its head, and then continually flipped on its head, because then I got married. And my husband and I were now one. And so, yes, we had these personal experiences in college that shaped our relationships with the Lord. But now we were about to create a relationship with God together. And what that looked like and how to walk through that. And so we began visiting churches. And then there were times where we weren't visiting churches. Like, there were a few that we went to pretty regularly for a time. We never got plugged in. No one ever really spoke to us. Like, I think if we wanted to get involved in like a small group or something like that, we could have, and I'm sure it would have been fine. But it's kind of weird that you can go to a church and sit down and be there for a month plus and know no one. And no one know you. Like, is that what church is supposed to be like? I think it got to a point where that wasn't what we wanted. That wasn't what we even experienced. And we're like, well, if we don't know anybody, like, why are we going? Which, of course, is not a great response at all. But that's kind of how stuff happened. And some Sundays we would just watch sermons at home, or read scripture together at home. We then got involved in a like church plant organization thing. And that was really cool for a time, and we were really excited about like just the freshness and the newness, you know, getting to be a part of creating what we wanted, you know, like that has to be really exciting, you know, if at all you ever feel discontent, but then you get the opportunity to create something that is what you feel like you're missing, like that's really, like there's a lot of hope in that. And so we're really, really, really excited about it. And then we watched a video called Rethinking Church by Francis Chan. Like, if you like, in YouTube, like, type that, there are going to be a lot of things that pop up. The specific one that we watched was on November 8th of 2013. So, and we got married in 2015. So, like, we even listened to it late. But, yeah. Essentially what he says in that like 11 minute clip is, what does the Bible say church is? Like, and he surveys people and he's like, what does the Bible say it is? You know, like, it's very possible that we could be doing church very differently than what God has asked for. Like, he uses an example. I can't remember which one is steak and which one is spaghetti, but basically, it's like, God, we made the best spaghetti for you ever. And God's like, well, that's great, but I asked for steak. Like, I don't want spaghetti. And, like, that's a silly example, but it's still like, huh. Are we offering God what he asked for? Or are we offering him a really good thing he didn't ask for? I don't know. So, as he talked to those people, like, they came up with four things that the Bible says that the church is full of love. Like, you can just see love emanating in and through them. That they are these people on mission. Like, they have to tell people about Jesus. That is what they're doing. Like, there is nothing greater. Like, everything rests on that. Everything comes from that. That is the purpose. Done. Like, we also see this deep gathering happening where they're truly focused on communion and remembering what Jesus did for them and the apostles' teaching and fellowship and prayer. And then we also see that the church is this this place for equipping and ministry. Like, those are the four things that people said: love, mission, deep gathering, equipping for ministry. If that's what the Bible says that church is, then we have to look at our churches and say, is that what we're doing? Like, not just like, oh yeah, we talk about love. Yeah, we have mission trips. Oh yeah, we gather together. Oh yeah, we do equipping classes. No, I'm not talking about that. Like, I'm talking about, are those four things who we are and what we do? Like, when you look at your church or the church, or when you look at the church, do you see other things? And yeah, those things happen, but do you see other things that would be the main four characteristics, shall we say? So as we looked at that video, we were like, man, God, we want that. We want that real bad. We want that real bad. But we were still a part of this church planning experience thing. And it was really exciting. And we were sharing this video and sharing these thoughts that we had and all these exciting new things. And we just kind of came into a place where we had to realize that, you know, we were partnering with other people with it. It was their vision that they were planting. And we couldn't come in and just say, I think you should do it like this. Like, I mean, I guess we could share that, but I think we were very much like, no, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what church is supposed to look like, even though we didn't have a picture at that moment and still don't really have a picture as currently. But as we were, you know, formulating that, 'cause it's very different to think about church in a very different way than what church looks like currently. So to share that in such an intimate time with another couple that was planting from what they feel like the Lord was leading them to do, I think it was a hard place for us all. And so we kind of just had to gracefully bow out. In the process of that, we moved from South Carolina to Nashville area and began going to another church here, kind of on and off as well. We did the same kind of thing. And then another Rethinking Church video came up. Again, if you want to look at that one, it's October 12th, 2018. And that one is a longer one, about an hour or so. And I think that would be considered more of a sermon-y talk thing. Like, it's at a conference. The point of the story is, he asks the question, like, has God enjoyed this gathering so far? Like, is God happy with what we're doing? So the first time he asks the question about Rethinking Church, it's like, what does the Bible say church is? But now, like, based off of what we are doing, is God pleased? Like, is God pleased with this? Like, if this is for him, is he pleased with it? And if he's not pleased with it, we have to do something about that. Like, we legitimately have to do something about that, because this is for him. It is not for us, and it's not for other people. And so grappling with that question in that talk, and then if you know anything about Francis Chan, he started a church, it turned into a mega church, and then he left it, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, why did you do that? And then he explains that, if you're curious, why he did that, and started this new, like, house church planting organization called We Are Church. And there's a documentary about that, and there's a book that goes along with it called Letters to the Church. And so this has been like a two-year process while we've been attending this other church on and off, and just being like, God, what? Like, we keep coming back to this thought, like, what is church? What pleases you? Like, how do we do this? And then we found this podcast thing, couple blog thing. Okay, so they have got a podcast called Ultimate Marriage, but they've also got one called Real Christianity, but they also have something called Relearn Church, and there's something else that's called Unlearn Church. And so they're four different titles, but they're led by the same two people, which is Dale and Veronica Partridge. And the question they ask is, what is biblical gathering? Like, again, what does the Bible say church is? Essentially is the question. And then how do we do that in today's society and our culture? Like, is it possible to replicate what we see in the Bible in America in the 20-something century? Is it possible, and how do we do that? How do we have authentic community? How do we see love played out deeply? Like, how do we truly become people that are all about the Great Commission? Like, how do we gather in such a deep way? How do we make sure that what we're doing is equipping each other? And then that's it. Like, what does that look like? So they've got like a lot of resources, and like I said, podcasts, but they also have like YouTube videos if you want to watch them talk rather than just listen to them talk. Just about like biblical gathering, and they also are involved in a house church planting organization. I don't know what to call it. Separate from Francis Chan, but either way, both of them are trying to say, okay, we want to go back to scripture. We want to do what pleases you, Lord. How do we do that? And not to say that there are not traditional building-like churches that are trying to do the same thing. I just know that, or at least I just think that, you know, the bigger a community gets, it's harder to have those deeper relationships. And so the idea of a house church to me makes it more possible. But at the same time, I forgot to say this, my husband and I did go to a house church while we were in South Carolina, and I do also understand why we experienced that, that just because you're in that smaller environment doesn't mean that community is automatically going to happen. Like, community requires work, like just like marriage does. Just because you're married and you live in the same house doesn't mean you're automatically one. Like, it requires work and sacrifice and conversation and transparency and, did I mention sacrifice? And conflict and dying to yourself. Like, it requires all of those things for a good marriage to actually be good and for community to actually be good. So whether small or large, like, it's going to require people to be honest and transparent and real and work hard. And because of that, smaller groups, I think, are easier to be more transparent with and work hard with. Because obviously the more people you add, the harder it becomes to be real with them, because it's hard to be real with one person, and then hard to be real with 10, and then it's going to be even harder to be real with 50. So, and then say a million, I don't know, or 2,000, which is more realistic, I would say. Either way, what I'm trying to say is, over the last 8 or so years, we've been asked a lot of questions and are asking lots of questions. To say those again, who is God to you? What does the Bible say church is? Has God enjoyed our gathering? And what is biblical gathering? And if God hasn't enjoyed our gathering, then what are we going to do about that? And so, with all that being said, my husband and I are in an interesting place as we look for a new church, and as we decide, and or not decide, as we pray and ask the Lord to lead us to where we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to gather, what pleases Him, and how we can accomplish and be people of love and people on mission and people that are gathering deeply and people that are equipped for ministry. Like, we want to be a part of that, and we don't want to be distracted by other stuff. We don't want to distract people from other stuff. And so yeah, it's very interesting and very exciting, but also a little like, oh, what's gonna happen? And it's a little vulnerable for me to share with you, because I know that some people are listening and they're skeptical or questioning what I'm saying, or are like interested in what I'm saying, but then also like, that sounds too ideal, Jamie, that's not gonna happen. Or people that are like, I would love that, that's exactly what I'm not looking for. So I realize that all three of those perspectives could be listening, but I hope that as I shared my heart in our church journey, I don't know, those questions make you ask questions too and lead you on a journey to stay exactly where you are, or to go somewhere else, find somewhere else, be something else. Yeah. So I'm gonna end today's episode a little differently. typically pray for you, but I hope it's okay if I pray for myself. Because like I said, our church journey is currently in transition, and I want to pray about that. And I would love for you to join me in that. So Father, I just want to thank you so much for just how gracious you are and how loving you are, how just you are, how kind you are too, for being so present in my life that I have seen in the last 8+ years, but also being so present in the last 28, but then also even when I was in the womb, you knew me, chose me, you're still knowing me and you're still choosing me to lead me and to guide me as the good father that you are. Children, don't worry. Children truly just assume that their parents are going to take care of them and give them what they want. And sometimes they need to be put in their place. But in other times, they just know, like, you're going to feed me. You're going to pick me up and comfort me. You're going to be there whenever I need you. And I pray that I begin to have that heart just with everything, but specifically our church experience and our journey, that I would just trust that you're going to lead me. Like, I don't have any care. I don't have a worry about that. You're going to lead me. You're going to lead us to where we're supposed to be. Like, you've led us this far. You're not going to leave us. Philippians 1:6 says that I am sure, he's confident, that you will continue the good work that you started in me. I am confident that you will continue the good work you started in me. You will continue to lead me to what your word says, to what you want, and to be what you want. That my life truly is glorifying to you. So I lay aside all of my fear. I cast my cares upon you, because you care for me, you love me, you're hearing me. And I just thank you for how you're leading, how you're leading, how you have led. I can see it right here as I look at my notes. You have led us, and you will continue to do so. So I have no fear. I have no doubt. I look forward to it. I trust you. I thank you for it already. And I'm excited. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you gotta have it, rather than writing a review, I just want to ask you to go, hopefully, give me 5 stars. Because algorithms are a real thing, and they help people see the podcast. So if you don't have time to write a review, just go and tap 5 stars. It'll take you legitimately 2 seconds, and I would really appreciate that. And if you want more, tune in next week, because next week we will actually be talking about something different. And I look forward to it, because it'll be our last month together before I go have another baby and take like a month off. And so, yeah, we've been having a really great time with this love series. And so I'm excited for August to be our last month to talk about love. And I'll walk through that together. So I'm excited. I hope you're excited. And until then, I will leave you with 1 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus rest on you and your families. I love you.